Have you ever felt that gnawing self-doubt before a big presentation, or watched in awe as someone confidently navigates situations that would leave you paralyzed with anxiety? You're not alone. At its core, confidence isn't about pretending to have superpowers. It's simply trust in yourself, the belief that whatever life throws at you, you'll be okay. This self-trust fundamentally changes how we approach challenges, significantly improving our odds of success. Think of the little blue engine that could. The small engine's repeated self-affirmation, "I think I can," enables it to accomplish what larger engines wouldn't attempt. This isn't just a charming tale. It illustrates how belief in our abilities genuinely increases our likelihood of succeeding. When we approach tasks with confidence, we tackle them with energy and initiative, whereas self-doubt leads to hesitation and diminished performance. Confidence creates a contagious energy that builds collective power in teams. The opposite is equally true. Doubt spreads just as easily, making defeat almost inevitable when a critical mass believes they can't succeed. Building confidence follows a clear cycle. Taking action provides data, learning from outcomes leads to progress, and success builds trust in one's abilities, making future action easier. Self-doubt imposes a significant tax on our lives, either holding us back from opportunities or driving us to achieve through exhausting overwork and punishing standards. Our inner critic disconnects us from the present by constantly evaluating performance and focusing on risks rather than strengths. Our language reveals self-doubt through caveats and unnecessary apologies. "You've probably thought of this already," or "it's only half an idea." These verbal habits diminish our credibility. Even physical nervousness is simply our body's natural preparation response, not a sign of inadequacy. Our self-perception is often distorted, like viewing ourselves in a funhouse mirror. When others tell us you should be more confident, they're recognizing this distortion, seeing strengths we minimize and weaknesses we magnify. We dismiss achievements with thoughts like, "it was actually quite easy," or "anyone could have done it." Many struggle to own their strengths due to childhood programming, such as "no one likes a show-off." Those with low confidence filter feedback in a biased way. Positive feedback bounces off, while negative feedback sticks because it confirms their harsh self-view. Unreasonable self-expectations trap us in binary thinking, where impossibly high bars create a focus on gaps rather than achievements. The goal isn't maximum confidence, but just the right amount, a Goldilocks approach where confidence matches capability. This balanced self-belief, called humble confidence, allows us to objectively assess our strengths and development opportunities without inflation or diminishment. The humble confidence mantra, "I am good enough and I can be better," balances self-acceptance with commitment to growth. The first part lets us own our strengths without needing to prove ourselves, while the second acknowledges our capacity for improvement without tying self-worth to acquiring new skills. Humble confidence doesn't eliminate self-doubt, but reduces it to appropriate proportions. This right-sized self-doubt informs rather than prevents action. It fuels collaboration by clarifying where we need help, enables appropriate preparation, allows us to hold viewpoints while remaining open to learning, and promotes growth through reflection rather than self-criticism. Many fear that working on confidence will make them conceited. However, addressing excess self-doubt won't suddenly make you conceited. Confidence exists on a continuum, and the goal is finding balance. Humble confidence is quiet and requires no proving. It's about becoming comfortable in your own skin. To build robust confidence, we must recognize what drains our self-belief. These saboteurs exist primarily in our minds, meaning we can regain control by adjusting our thinking patterns. The inner critic often hijacks our confidence during high-stakes situations. Comparisonitis manifests when we believe others are inherently more capable than us. FOPO, fear of other people's opinions, threatens confidence, especially for those with active inner critics. This fear wrongly assumes universal approval is possible. Mind reading occurs when we interpret others' thoughts based on limited cues. Someone yawns during your presentation and you assume they're bored. Overthinking is the mental equivalent of running on a treadmill, expending significant effort without progress, achieving only exhaustion. Our overthinking typically focuses on past or future, rarely the present. Perfectionism extends beyond high standards to become an unreasonable expectation that guarantees failure. Fear of failure prevents us from taking the first step in the confidence momentum cycle, blocking access to learning and potential success. Confidence ebbs and flows over time and across different domains of our lives. Rather than following a straight line, it resembles a wobbly graph with an upward trend marked by peaks and valleys. These variations occurred across both time and contexts. You might feel relaxed with your team, but self-conscious with peers, or comfortable with new hobbies, but hesitant at work. Confidence isn't automatically gained with age. It's earned through hard work and hard times. We build it by using life's challenges to understand our capabilities. Each time we face the unknown, experience vulnerability, make mistakes, and overcome them, we gather evidence of our resilience. This that's-so-this mindset generates homegrown confidence. Not just, I've done X, so I can do X again, but I've done X, so I can tackle Y. Dips are inevitable when plans go awry, yet overcoming setbacks builds self-trust. Job transitions often trigger self-doubt, with many wondering, what if I've convinced them I'm better than I am? Ultimately, confidence remains highly situational, varying across different contexts in our lives. The most robust form of confidence grows from within, like a plant you nurture with strong roots. This internal confidence creates resilience against inevitable setbacks. With homegrown confidence, a poor review or a rejected proposal might disappoint you without fundamentally altering your self-perception. Many people position confidence outside themselves, using external markers as validation. Some treat qualifications as confidence life rafts, objective proof of their capabilities. Without internalizing what these qualifications represent, they experience only temporary boosts, constantly needing the next credential. Job titles and promotions similarly serve as external confidence proxies. Others rely on people to prop up their confidence. While we naturally care about others' opinions, overemphasizing external validation makes our self-trust dependent on others' assessment. Research shows this approach increases stress and unhealthy coping mechanisms. We can temporarily borrow confidence from others' belief in us, but our confidence crashes when they criticize. No need to hurry. No need to sparkle. No need to be anybody but oneself. Virginia Woolf's words capture how to grow confidence from within, permission to be authentically you. This means clarifying your values rather than conforming to others' expectations. Confidence isn't about pretending to have superpowers. It's developing that quiet, steady feeling of, I've got this, trusting yourself regardless of outcomes. True confidence means loyalty to self, enabling self-acceptance without constant external validation. Embrace both your current worth and potential for growth, knowing you are good enough and can always improve.